If you can quote 10 verses of Scripture, I'm almost sure that one of those 10 verses is Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But how many of us can quote Hebrews 10:24, the verse just before that? Understanding what is in verse 24 may be the key to understanding what is in verse 25 in this particular passage. Verse 24 is a shorter verse, and yet most of us do not know it. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. I want us to think about that word provoke today. In fact, the evening lesson will be a continuation of these thoughts, and I urge you to be here if at all possible. We'll be discussing the subject tonight on what really provokes you as we carry this idea throughout the day. But think for a moment about that word provoke. Is it a good word? What does it mean? We have a tendency, I think, to connect the word provoke to something that's bad. And yet it is not always connected in that sense. The word provoke itself means to stir up, or to turn on, or to get somebody excited about something. That may be used in a bad sense, but it also may be and is used in a good sense. Let your mind wander for a moment through the New Testament, particularly at places where this word is used. You may remember that it's used in that description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, where there's a list given of some of the great qualities of love or charity, and he says that love is not easily provoked. And when we read it in that passage, we think of it in a negative sense. I suppose as you read that, as you picture in your mind what's being said, you see somebody who's provoked, who's mad or angry, or who can just get stirred up, who has a bad temper and a quick temper, and some little something happens, and boy, he is provoked. He's turned on to anger and to wrath and to madness. And that's probably what that passage has in mind particularly. And so in that case, at least, he says we ought not to be easily provoked. To the fathers, Paul said in Ephesians 6:4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There is a companion passage in Colossians 3:21. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, we don't have to guess what he's talking about here. It is anger, definitely, that's the subject. And he is warning us fathers that even though we must be concerned about discipline that would bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that we need to have controlled discipline so that we do not abuse our children and we do not provoke them to wrath or to anger. Those two words are used in those two verses. And so here again, these verses are talking about the idea of provoking in a bad sense or a negative connotation. Sometimes that which provokes us may be evil. And we'll discuss this more in detail tonight, but let's just touch on it for the benefit of tying it in this morning. When Paul was in Athens in Acts the 17th chapter, the Bible says there at about the 13th verse that his spirit was stirred in him because he looked about and saw all of the idolatry. Now the same word that's translated provoked in other passages is the word that's used here. The translation is a bit different, but it says the same thing and it helps us to understand what's involved. Notice what it says. His spirit, that's his inner person, as it were, including his mind and his thinking. His spirit was stirred in him. And what stirred it was that he saw all of this idolatry in the city of Athens. In the opposite line of thought, however, good things can provoke people. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2, where he's talking about the making up of the contribution or the bounty to be ready to take care of the Lord's work when he comes, and he's talking to those in Macedonia and Corinth, and he says he's talked to those in Macedonia about Corinth. He says that your zeal hath provoked them. your zeal hath provoked them. I believe we've seen this happen in our own work in the last 8 or 9 months. I think it is the zeal, particularly in this congregation and among the missionaries that are involved in the work in Belo, that has been seen by other people and has provoked them or stirred them up to be involved. I've had several people who've contributed to this project who've made some comments, particularly about Brother F.H. Gates and Brother Glenn Robb. And some people have said, I don't see how anyone could listen to Brother Gates present the need there without being stirred up to do something about it, without being provoked, you see, to do something about this. And so that's exactly the way the word provoke is used. And we need to understand that it's not always used in a bad sense. We need to be careful that we are not stirred up to anger, that we do not have quick tempers that jump to conclusions, and that we're provoked or we provoke others to anger and to wrath. But we do need to be concerned about provoking one another in the areas that are good, like those folks did there at Corinth. Now that's what's being said here in Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke. To provoke. To provoke unto love and to good works. And let me just pause long enough here in passing to say to you, I believe that most of the time we've missed the key message in verse 25. We have made verse 25 a verse that says that we are to exhort people to attend. I think if you study that verse, although that idea may be in the context, that the key idea in verse 25 is not so much exhort to attend as it is attend to exhort. Notice what he says. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Those are the ones that don't come, but exhorting one another. Those are the ones who do come. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He was particularly saying that you need to be together to mutually encourage one another as you are facing this difficult time. And again, I say, I think we've missed the main gist of verse 25. But be that as it may, let's come back to verse 24. And here is the answer to the need in verse 25. Let us consider one another to provoke. I don't believe that we will ever accomplish what we ought to accomplish as far as attendance and involvement and giving and effort. And all of those things are concerned from this pulpit. I don't think there is a preacher in the brotherhood that is powerful enough to get in this pulpit and turn everybody on and provoke everybody and stir everybody up to do the things that need to be done in the Lord's work. It's going to come with the let us. Let us. That's not just the preacher. That's not just the elders. That's not just the Bible teachers. Let us provoke one another. Let us consider one another to provoke. And that's saying the same thing as let us provoke one another. Stir up, turn people on, encourage, exhort. All of those things are involved. But who's to do that? Not just me, but you and me. All of us, let us consider one another to exhort. There are two things in this verse that are said to be the results, or at least the areas where this exhortation and this provoking and this exhorting is to take place. Let us provoke one another unto love. I think it not necessary to use the time today to prove to you the importance of love. We all know it. We know about the great love of God. We know about the commandments to love God. We know about the encouragement to love each other. We have experienced love in both directions, receiving and giving. We know the importance of love. And yet he says we need to provoke one another unto love. That indicates to us that we're not at perfection yet. That indicates there's room for improvement. And that indicates that there's something that ought to be going on a regular basis as we consider one another to provoke unto love. I hear people say sometimes love is something that cannot be taught. Don't let anybody teach you that. Titus 2:4 says the older women are to teach the younger women to love, particularly to love their husbands and to love their children. The Bible definitely teaches that we can teach love. Now, we cannot force people to love, but we can teach it. We can teach the examples of love. One of the greatest things is to go back to the Old Testament and then through the New Testament. We sometimes call them examples of faith, but they're also examples of love. Why did Abraham leave his country? Faith, yes, love for God, the same idea involved. Look at all the love that's involved in family situations and among friends back in the Old Testament. Look at the love that the New Testament writers and preachers of the gospel had even for each other. Paul and Peter didn't see everything exactly alike all the time. They worked in different areas of work for the Lord, but look at the love and respect that they had for each other. Encourage one another to love. We need to talk it up. We need to encourage each other to have the proper attitude. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he loved us. And really the word him could be left out in the original text there. It probably is left out in the original text. And that verse is literally saying, we love because he loved. We see the example in him. And that's at least the same thing that's said in 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of Christ constraineth us. What's the difference in that word constrain and the word provoke for our consideration today? The love of Christ constraineth us. When you look back at the love that he had that came from heaven, died on the cross, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, that example of love provokes us. It stirs us up. It constrains us to become Christians and to live as Christians. And so in our work today, we need to provoke one another. We need to talk about the Lord's work. We need to talk about the assemblies. We need to talk about mission work. We need to talk about benevolent needs. We need to talk about those who are sick. And I think you understand already, I'm not meaning talk about in the sense of gossip or behind people's back, but I mean talk about and talk to and mutually encourage each other to love God and to love one another and to love his word and to love good things. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Sometimes we allow ourselves to get in the rut of gossip and tale-bearing and things of that nature, and we do a lot of provoking. We do a tremendous amount of stirring up, but it's not to the right thing nor for the right purpose or reason. But here is the right purpose and the right object and the right result. He says, let us provoke one another unto love. And then he says something else. Let us provoke one another unto good works. A part of that is the preaching of the gospel publicly, but that's not all of it. When we start thinking about good works, I don't know where to begin, where to stop on that. Anything that's a part of the Lord's service, in a sense, is a good work. Any action which takes place as a result of that proper attitude that we've been discussing is a good work in the sight of God, even if it's just a cup of cold water given in his name. And so he says we are to provoke one another. We're to stir each other up. We're to do that as far as the teaching of the Bible is concerned. Stir each other up to teach. I think we've done a good job of that mission-wise, at least in carrying the gospel to other places. But sometimes I wonder if we've done as good a job of that locally as we might do. Are we provoking each other to teach God's word and to talk to our neighbors and to reach out into the community and let people know that we care, that we're concerned, that we want to bring them to Jesus Christ? You know, we can live right here in Henderson the rest of our lives and have people live on our streets and in this town who are not Christians. And if we never do anything to teach them about Christ, they may very well die and be lost. Here we are, right here in the midst of them. We need to encourage each other. We need to provoke. We need to stir up. That's why we talk about our visitation teams. That's why we talk about people going out to visit with others on their own. That's why we talk about making contacts and encouraging people to come. That's why we talk about special efforts like our gospel meetings, our vacation Bible schools, our area-wide meeting. What are we trying to do? We're trying to provoke people. And we're trying to provoke ourselves to get out and provoke people, to stir them up and to encourage them in the right way. Well, folks, that's what we're doing when we talk about attending the services. Do you think we just talk about coming on Sunday night and Wednesday night and to Bible study just to have something to fit into a sermon? Let me tell you something. There are a whole lot of other sermons I'd like to preach. I wish I never had to mention that. Dale was telling me about being in a meeting a few days ago down in the Florence, Alabama area, with a congregation that has over 400 in attendance. And you know, he said their Sunday morning Bible study, Sunday worship, Sunday night worship, and Wednesday worship were just a few people different in all of those. And I wondered for a minute what the preacher preaches on down there. He's got about half of his sermons. He doesn't need those. What are we doing? Are we just talking about these things for the sake of talking about it? Let me ask you something. Do you think encouraging people to come to Bible study and all the services is just preacher talk? Oh, no. This is where we're provoking one another and we're encouraging one another. And we are encouraging you to be here to help encourage one another. That's really what the whole process is. Encouraging one another. Exhorting one another. Provoking one another unto good works. There are benevolent needs about us. When we're talking about supporting those that are orphans and widows, when we talk about taking food to those that are hungry, clothing to those that are naked, finding shelter for those who don't have it, visiting those who are sick and in prison, and doing all of those things where Jesus said, as you do it to them, you do it to me. What are we doing? We're provoking one another. We're encouraging each other to become involved in this. And yes, we need the organized work, and we need the work that may not be so highly organized in this area of going out and reaching out to people. There are many of you in the congregation this morning, I know, who do not meet with one of the teams, visitation teams, but you're out there visiting with people, and you're going to see about people, and that's great. All of us ought to be doing that. And then I believe we need, though, that part that is organized, where we keep in touch and we make sure that somebody's not overlooked. You know, one of the problems in Acts 6 that caused them to bring about the organization with the deacons was because some were being overlooked. Oh, they were doing some good works, but they needed to keep in touch with it. We need all these things. Why? So that we can exhort each other. And when we talk about laying by in store of our means, we're not doing that just for the sake of money. If we are, we have the right motive or the wrong motive. We're doing it to exhort each other, to consider themselves and their relationship to God. And I tell you, in the work of the church, not only in this congregation, but across the brotherhood, the one thing that really concerns me when I start talking about money and giving is the number of people in the church who just don't give liberally. I'm not as concerned about the amount as I am the attitude of those people. And we talk about those things to exhort and to encourage. We want to provoke you to be stirred up and to be interested in the Lord's work and to put the Lord's work first and to put your priorities in the right place. Let us consider one another to provoke. To provoke to love and to good works. That's what this unity and this togetherness and this mutual encouragement in the body of Christ is about. It's provoking one another. We do that when we're in a service like this. We do this when we're together, when we're talking one to another, and we're encouraging each other to do more and more in the Lord's service. We are provoking, stirring people up, turning them on, if you please, to do the Lord's work in the best possible way. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, to those of you that are listening this morning, I want to, in a very personal way, do a little provoking. If you're an active member of the Lord's church, let's provoke one another to keep on living for Christ and to do the best that we can. If you're an inactive member of the Lord's church, we want to provoke you this morning to come and be restored and to get busy again in the Lord's service. If you're not an active part of this congregation, you've just been attending and not involved, we want to provoke you to place membership, which is God's way, and become involved in the local work. If you've never become a Christian, we want to provoke you to believe in Jesus Christ enough to repent and to come to be baptized for the remission of sins and be a Christian and to live for Him. We want to provoke you to positively respond to the Lord's invitation. As together we stand and sing.
Let the stranger at the door, let him in. He has been there.